But we go to the guest line this morning. Cardinals writer and founder of STLSportsPage.com is Rob Raines. Been covering the team for quite some time now, and he's with us on KMOX. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing okay. We are correct, though, in being upset with A's ownership and Major League Baseball for allowing them to tank the organization and then get rewarded with a new stadium in a new city.
Yeah, it's crazy, you know, because they had an option, a great option, I think, for different part of the Bay Area, and they just couldn't get the financing, or the ownership didn't want to do it. I don't know all the details, but I do think there was some possibility that they could have reworked it. I mean, obviously, they had to get out of the stadium that they were in. You know, it was a bad stadium and bad for baseball. But you know, I think they could have figured out a way to stay in that market. I think the problem is, and now you see the commissioner talking about wanting to add two new teams. So the fight was on to see, you know, if somebody could move to Vegas before they would get an expansion team. You know, so I think that's what happened. Is that Oakland kind of played their cards right so they could get that market instead of letting it go to be an expansion team.
So before we get to, you know, the Cardinals specifically here, along these lines, there are going to be expansion teams at some point. We know that. And we know that the commissioner is already floating the idea of realignment. We don't know what that would look like. There are all kinds of permutations. You know, I've seen where the Cardinals could be in a division with the Royals, the Cubs, and the White Sox, which I think is intriguing. What do you think of that and how that's going to end up playing out?
Well, I would have more of an issue with it had we not gotten rid. Basically, you've gotten rid of the National League and the American League anyway by playing everybody, you know, the equal amount of times or whatever. You know, you've lessened the importance of the division now the way it is. So I don't know that it's as big a deal as it would have been maybe 10, 20 years ago. You know, if you'd say, oh my gosh, we're going to do away with the National and American League and just realign, you know, geographically, but it doesn't, you know, now that other than winning the National League pennant, there's really no, you know, specific advantage to being in one league over the other. And I think, you know, I liked it when you played more the teams in the division more often, you know, and maybe if you could get back to the geographical realignment, maybe that would also be a byproduct of that. So it all depends on where they put the new teams and how they shape it, you know, how it shakes out.
Well, things didn't shake out too well for Sonny Gray yesterday.
Good segue.
Wow. Yeah.
Allowing three homers, the Cardinals lose 11-3 against the A's, and it's a feeling. Okay, every athlete is going into the game competing. Obviously, the Cardinals, you know, they're not in the wild card race. They're not in a playoff hunt, but players still want to play for themselves, play for their contracts, play for the teams. But it's feeling just very off. The Cardinals just feel kind of off all the way around.
Well, it's been the case for the last couple of months, too, really. But I think the problem is you've got a lot of players on this team that really don't know what their future is in this organization. You know, there's going to be so many changes that we expect this team to make after the season's over with, you know, Chaim Bloom taking over for you know, John Mozeliak. We don't know what he thinks about, you know, personnel on the team as far as, you know, even the manager, the coaching staff, the front office staff, the players. You know, there's just a lot of things to be decided. So if I'm a player on this team right now, I would say there's more of an emphasis on having a good September than you know, maybe any year in recent years, because you're trying to play for, you know, the new boss and trying to show why you want to be a part of this team in 2026 and why you deserve to be a considered for a starting role on that team. Because there's so many, you know, balls up in the air as far as, you know, the future of the players. There's so many decisions to make as far, you know, we all know that the roster configuration this year has not been good. You know, they've had too many overlaps of the same type of players and the same type of position players, and they're going to have to clean that up, and it's going to be on Chaim Bloom's, you know, watch to do that. So it's, you know, I think that what happens the next month with these individual players is going to be really, really interesting to watch to see who takes the challenge. And even if you're not playing for a pennant, you're playing for something. You're playing for your future here.
Yeah, you know, I happen to think, and I'd like to get your take on this, that the manager, Oliver Marmol, who, by the way, is on the show at 12 o'clock today, and I'm not just saying this because he comes on with us every week. I happen to think that given the roster he's had this year, I think the results are pretty good, and this is not a particularly good team. The roster isn't very good. Let's just be honest. It isn't. And I happen to think he's done pretty well with what he has to work with. How do you think he's done, and how do you think Chaim Bloom, the organization in general, thinks of what he's done?
I have no idea about the second part of the question because we haven't been allowed to talk to Haim and get his opinion on stuff, even, you know, off the record. So, so that's number one. Ali is under contract for next year, so that is a factor, I think, in the decision going forward. My guess would be if they don't make a change, that he will get an extension, because I don't think you want to have a manager in a lame duck, you know, contract situation. I think the biggest problem with the roster basically is you had expectations for some of these young players to make the next step forward over what they've done in the past, and they didn't do it. You know, they just, you know, you look at Jordan Walker, you look at, you know, some of the other guys on this club, and, you know, you had hopes that they would, you know, be, you know, more productive than they've been to this point in the season. So that to me is the biggest decisions that they've got to make, is just, you know, do you give these kids another year, or do you, you know, try to figure something out? You're also going to have the Nolan Arenado situation hanging over their head again this winter, which is going to be a roster spot if you can't, you know, clear his contract to somebody else, and somebody's not going to make the club because of that. So it's, you know, that's why I say the balancing act is going to be really interesting. But I think, yeah, given the fact that the young, you know, you can always say, okay, why didn't the young players perform better than they, you know, than they did, when the expectations were that they would coming into the season? Is that on the coaching staff and the manager, or is that just on the player himself? So that's something that, you know, the internal people there will have to figure that out.
When you look at the upcoming offseason, and as you mentioned, looking at these players, whether or not you give them another year, or if you just assume this is where they're at, I know people aren't using the term rebuild. They're using transition. But how close to a fire sale could the Cardinals get? Or is it something where it's a fire sale in slow motion, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I don't see it being a fire sale simply because so many of the players that you're talking about are younger players. I mean, the fire sale will be like if Sonny Gray would agree to waive his no trade clause, if there's somebody that he would agree to go to.
And well, what do you think the market would, Rob? What do you think the market would even be for him?
It depends on the team. You know, I mean, I think that there's situations where he probably could be a pretty good pitcher. I just don't think he's worth the $35 million he's going to make next year. At least the way he's pitched the last second half of the season. So, you know, it probably would be one of those trades where you'd have to put maybe be the same situation as you have with Arenado. You have to package him with a younger prospect player, you know, somebody that a club really wants, and they'll take that other contract just to get the player that they want. So, but, you know, that's, the pitching has to get better. I mean, you have to figure out some way to get, you know, either upgrade the internal guys that you've got and have them step up and be better, or go out and make some moves outside the organization. But there again, you know, we don't know what, you know, kind of a budget Haim's going to be given to work with. You know, we know that the financial constraints are probably going to be similar to next year to what they were this year, as far as the attendance projections are concerned, as far as the television revenues are concerned. And then, oh, by the way, remember that the collective bargaining agreement expires next December. So we don't know what's going to happen in 2027. So I don't know that they're going to want to commit a lot of, you know, money. I mean, obviously they don't have to pay it if they're not playing, but I don't know that they want to commit a lot of money until they see what the new contract with the players union is going to be.
So when the CBA expires in December of 2026, right now the common wisdom is that there is going to be a work stoppage. If you had to guess, and again, we are well over a year away from this happening, and the confidence seems to be high that this is going to happen, but is this a thing where maybe it is interrupted, but only during the off season? Maybe they get it worked on before the actual regular season is scheduled to begin the following year. How do you think that will play out?
You're speaking common sense there, which never applies in baseball labor negotiations.
Of course.
So, I think we had the situation a couple of years ago where they wiped out most of spring training because of trying to get a deal done, and, you know, luckily did get it done and salvage the regular season. But if the ownership group is locked in their position of wanting to have a salary cap, then I think you're going to have a long work stoppage, because I don't think the players union will ever go for it. And I think the problem is that the people that are in charge of the negotiations from the commissioner side and the people that are in charge of negotiations with the union side, I don't know that they really like each other, and I don't know that they really trust each other. And I think that's a bad combination when you're trying to get a deal done. So, you know, maybe there'll be some, you know, fresh leadership come in and take over the negotiations, and I'll be proven wrong, which would be great, and that they will get a deal done, and that they will drop off their demand for the salary cap and work out something. I mean, the problem is the disparity in the game has just gotten so ridiculous now that they have to do something, because you can't have the Dodgers and the Mets and the Yankees all having, you know, $300 million payrolls, and then you've got teams like, you know, Pittsburgh and the Athletics, whether you're calling them whatever city they're in, having, you know, $50 million payroll. I mean, that's just, you can't have that disparity in the game. And that's, you know, that's why the NFL works so well, is because you have that, you know, limits on how much a team can spend. And the Packers and New York Giants have to, the same amount of money that they can spend. So, you know, I understand the need for, or why the ownership, you know, commissioners, people want to have that salary cap, but I don't think it's going to happen. But there has to be some way to try to resolve that disparity between the size of the team payrolls.
But isn't part of the issue, and I know that, again, teams like Dodgers and Mets, they just have better resources, but isn't some of it that there are just some teams that refuse to invest in their product, like Pittsburgh? They could be better if they wanted to. They just refuse to invest in the payroll. So, well, if you refuse to do that, then how are you going to be good?
Yeah, they're putting all their money into player development. They're hoping they draft well and develop players and they keep them, you know, but then again, they trade a guy before he makes a lot of money.
Right.
So, you know, it's going to be fascinating to watch how they handle Paul Skeens. You know, the best pitcher in the game right now, he's under their contract, you know, control for a couple, three more years, or even through arbitration, but will they, you know, try to find a way to lock him up to a long-term deal? Does he even want to stay there? You know, so that's the challenge for those kind of clubs. I mean, like, I remember a conversation I had a long time ago with Terry Ryan when he was the GM of Minnesota Twins. And we were talking, and this was, you know, maybe 30 years ago, but the situation still applies, because he said, you know, if I sign a free agent player, I have to be right, because, you know, I only have so much money that I can spend. And if the Yankees go out and sign a free agent player and he proves out to be a bust, they just get rid of him and sign somebody else. He goes, I can't do that. So that's the challenge for the small market clubs. I think there is a lot more of an emphasis on, you know, decisions that they make, because they have to, you know, bear the financial repercussions of that if it turns out to be a bad deal.
Rob, you mentioned that you haven't been able or been allowed to speak with Chaim Bloom, whether it's on the record or off the record. Have they given you guys a date on when Chaim will be available?
No, actually, I'm curious about that too. Actually, yeah, no, I don't know if. I mean, all we've been told is that he will take over, you know, as team president once this season is over. Now, I don't know if that means, you know, October 28th, you know, a couple of days after the season is over. If it means November 1st, if it means, you know, November 15th, or if there is physically an actual date that transition is going to occur. Now, and I shouldn't say we've been allowed to, because I don't know if I've actually made a formal request to talk to him, but I just know that when I've seen him around the ballpark or in even some minor league settings, you know, he's just been very, you know, we've been pleasant and said hello and things like that, but just, you know, he's just not, you know, his role right now is just kind of an awkward in this transition, that he's, you know, respecting the authority of the people that are in charge now and letting them speak for the organization.
Based on what you know of him, and we know a little about his past with Boston, with Tampa, and what he was able to do there, how much do you envision things within the organization actually changing at a fundamental level?
Well, I just think it'll be a fresh perspective. You know, I just think there'll be somebody new speaking for the, you know, for the organization. What he's going to do, or how he's going to act, or what he's going to say, I can't speak to that. But I think he's certainly got experience. He's certainly been in this position before. I think he understands the game. I think he understands what his responsibilities are going to be, and how he wants to get better. I mean, he's obviously leading the charge with, you know, trying to make the improvements that they made, you know, in the minor league system, and adding more coordinators and instructors and things like that, upgrading the technology and the facilities at different parks. So he's been very involved in that, you know, the last year or so, and I just suspect that'll be a smoother transition. You know, the one thing about it is that, and I think it, you know, he would probably admit to this, even if he can't say it publicly, is that even though it seems like it's an awkward situation to have him in this role, knowing that he's kind of the guy in waiting here, but I think in one respect it's going to pay dividends in the future, because he's had these 2 years to sit back and watch and observe without having to make, you know, officially make decisions as far as some of the stuff is concerned. So, you know, he will know some of the personnel. He's had, you know, working relationships with them now for a couple of years, and he's not going to have to all of a sudden learn, you know, 200 people on day one of his first day in the job. He's already going to have that background information. So when he comes to starting to make decisions, you know, he's watched the players, he's watched the coaches, watch the managers. So I think, you know, his you know, working capital of information is going to be a lot greater than it would be had he just, you know, all of a sudden, October 30th, the Cardinals call a news conference and announce that Chaim Bloom is taking over as president when he hasn't been here for 2 years.
Cardinals writer and founder of STLSportsPage.com. It's Rob Raines with us on KMOX. Rob, we always appreciate you. Thank you for jumping on today.
Anytime, you guys. Thank you.